Well, you know, I can't give you a cup of coffee. It just is not possible. We do not have the technology for me to make you a cup of coffee on Saturday morning, first thing out of the gate. But we can get the music percolating. That's what we did. So, good morning. It's Hot and Cold. I'm Tom. You knew that. It's we're on the downhill slide from winter. I'm officially calling it. And I will share with you personal information that not many people know. I have done away with the thermal underwear. It's too warm. At least, now I know there's some of you people out there who go marching around in January in shorts, but you have some, most of you, to say this politely, have a little bit of extra thermal mass built into your being. That was a very diplomatic way to say that, wasn't it? I don't have that. I got to put thermals on as soon as it drops to a certain temperature. But I'm overheating, man. And I haven't gained any, well, I might have gained a couple pounds over the winter. But I haven't gained enough weight to warrant that. To say, oh, yeah, you don't need thermals. It's just, it's getting warmer. And there's no denying it. And honestly, I this is good. But I get a little dismayed if it starts to get a little too warm too quick. I want to, you know, gentle change. So speaking of gentle change. Okay, it's only taken me about 10 years to get the bead on degree day information. And I got degree day information. I do not have last week's number, but February. I do have February's number, and I have January, December, November. I've got all the way back to the beginning of the heating season, which I'll call September. And you can write these numbers down if you like. In September, we had 167.8 degree days. In October, it's 473. November was 685 point something. I can't read what I wrote. It looks like it might be a six. December was 1187.3. Big jump, right? Typical. January, 1406. And February, which is officially over, thank you, God, we're into March, 1278.3. And we're about three-quarters of the way through the season. Well, maybe more than three-quarters, but let's call it three-quarters of the way through the season. So that's good. That's the sign, you know, and you don't, if you're 23 years old, and God knows there's probably not a lot of 23-year-olds listening to Hot and Cold Saturday morning, but if you're out there 23 years old, this winter's taken forever. If you are my advanced age or George Hale's advanced age, and George, the smart guy, has gone south, the time goes fast. And as a matter of fact, my friend Jim has spent the past 6 weeks in St. Augustine, Florida. God bless him. Smart guy. He retired end of the year and said, I'm going south. Okay. So I spoke to him this week. I don't want to bother people when they're on it's kind of a vacation. So, but I called him and we spoke and I said, well, have you gone swimming? Now, I'm in Maine with thermals on because this was, you know, it was thermal weather. Well, when I spoke to him, my thermals were gone, but it's been past 6 weeks have been thermal weather. Let's face it. And I said, well, you've been swimming. What's the water temperature? He says 55. He says too cold. Well, for me, part of the reason I would go south is so I could go swimming. I want to be in a warm ocean. I guess I got to go further south, which would have to be in the equation. That's all there is to it. I said, well, Jim, that's the temperature. I remember distinctly because we did this 1 year. It was end of August. We booked a week in York Beach, and the water temperature in York Beach end of August in the glorious state of Maine was about the same as it is in Florida in the middle of winter. 55 degrees. So, oh, well, what are you going to do? It's always something. It just is what it is, man. It's, before I forget, last week I mentioned I was looking for a Roth oil tank and somebody was kind enough to call in and I completely lost your phone number, but he had a 165 gallon tank. That's unfortunately too small. I do have to have a 275. But I appreciate the phone call. It's very kind of you to do that. And it's stupid of me for losing the phone number, but that's what I do. So I'm going to put out there other requests as long as I have the pulpit here. I've been working on making banjos out of Corian. And maybe next week, I didn't want to do it this week, but maybe next week I'll bring the most recent one in, which I have to say is probably the best so far. But I'm looking for, and I know somewhere in this state of Maine, somebody has got quarter-inch Corian scraps. And they make it in half-inch. And I've planed it down to 3/8, and the planer was not happy because Corian is like a rock. But they do make quarter-inch, and that's what I need is quarter-inch for my next step, if you will. And if anybody out there in Radio Land has scrap quarter inch, I'll be willing to pay for it. I'm not looking for freebie here. I'm willing to pay for it. But I found it in Connecticut and Rhode Island. And I don't want to travel to Connecticut or Rhode Island. And the people don't want to ship, which I understand, I guess. They want to see cash money. But if you got it out there in Radio Land, let me know because I'm interested. I'm a buyer. What can I tell you? It's funny. People, and this happens a lot, selling cars and selling anything. Somebody say, what's the least you'll take? I don't know. Don't ask me that question because I'm not going to answer it. But let me know what you want, and we'll go from there. We got to take a break, though. It's 8:15. The time is just flying, isn't it? Right back. It might seem crazy wearing stripes of pride.
make you pay.
For the war, at the war, at the little fat war, stomp your foot and give a little snort for the war. Well, the buyer of the chicken sticks, the husband of the mother. The mother is a changer and the feeder and the washer, and the father is a holder of the war, at the war, the little fat war. Stomp your foot and give a little snort for the war. Well, in my heart there's a tender spot of a magic sort for the war, at the war, at the little fat war. Stomp your foot and give a little snort for the war. Well, wart, father, wart, mother, wart, sister, wart, brother, grandfather, grandmother, this and that and something other. Wart people grinning at the wart, the little fat wart, stomp your...
All right, we're back. It's Hot Gold, the home of the classics.
Well, in my heart there's...
What a great song, huh? Let's see. Phone number 1-800-966-1039. Text line 601-207-4478. Got some texts coming in. Got one here. And this is germane to topic of conversation from weeks gone by. In the interest of science, I took a mouthful of wash rack spray at the Belfast car wash the other day. You'll be glad to know it was not saline. That was the second thing that surprised me. That's good to know. It's good to know. And makes washing your car this time of year a good thing. He said... You know, as we have cars that we're getting ready to sell, we get them at auction. They go to my mechanic. They come back to me. I do anything that needs to be done. We certainly need to clean them. But they also are kind of encrusted with salt. So before, and I think I've mentioned, before I undertake the routine of undercoating, I want to wash underneath the car. Then I want to conversion coat it. With rust inhibitor before I put wool wax on. So it's a routine now that takes a couple days because stuff has to dry in between. But and there's days I cannot wash underneath the car. I can't go to – we have a car wash in Searsport, and I've gone there and they've been closed. God, come on, guys. That's the deal. But it's good to know. If I wanted to go to Belfast, the car wash, I could do that. I've been, I picked up, after we had the fire a couple of years ago, I lost almost everything that was in my shop. And one of the things I lost was I had a little Makita table saw, and it was toast. So I replaced it with, I needed a saw for, we were doing work there. And I got a Home Depot credit card, so I'm looking around, and I do use Ryobi power tools. Yeah, they're not the best in the world, but, I'm not either, so it works. So I picked up a Ryobi table saw with a stand, and it was not expensive, and it worked fine, and it works okay. And I noticed recently that it is not, the cut is not perpendicular. So I got online, I got a copy of the manual, and I saw that you can adjust it, and I did, but I'm not real happy with the construction of the saw. I'm not into, it's not like I'm just doing a couple of DIY projects at this point. I'm cutting wood, I'm cutting a lot of hardwood for banjo stuff, and I need a square cut, duh. And yeah, I've adjusted it, but I said, I think I need a better quality table saw than what I've been using. And I've been shopping and I shop hard when I shop for these kind of things because they ain't cheap. And actually, I found one that it's about 50 miles away, which is probably worth the trip. We'll see. I'm not sure it's a 50-mile trip today with the weather, although I don't think the weather will be horrible. But it's also big and heavy. But it's on everything's got to be on casters at this point in my life, just so I can move it around. So we'll see how that plays out. But, you know, it's always a little bit of a crapshoot, especially if you're buying a used power tool. And that's what I've been looking at. New ones are going to be out of the question. I'm spending an easy $600 to $1,000 for a new tool that would suit my needs. And even then, I think the quality is, it depends, you know. So we'll see how that plays out. Let's see. I get on the eBay. And I'm looking, the first thing I look at every day, I have a list of things when I get on the computer. I'm having my bowl of Cheerios, and I'm checking eBay to see who's got a banjo that, you know, needs love. And there's not usually anything on eBay that interests me banjo-wise anymore. Just every so often there's something that shows up. There was one. There's been some interesting stuff, but lately, one caught my eye, and it was a tenor banjo. I don't play tenor banjo, number one, but it belonged to a mummer. One of the guys who marches around Philadelphia, singing "Hail, Hail, the Gang's All Here" and playing banjo in the street. I mean, you know, so already it's got my interest. And it was a nice-looking instrument. It was a little different. So I looked up the builder. The builder, as it turns out, was a Hungarian guy. Now there's kinship here. It could be a relative. Maybe it's genetic. Maybe Hungarians make banjos. I don't know. It could be in the genes. And the guy has since passed away. But he made, 300 instruments, I think. All for mummers who play in the streets in Philadelphia. Now, that is just cool. And, of course, I bookmarked it and watched it, and it disappeared. And it was a deal. And it wasn't in bad shape. And I have to watch for more Hungarian mummer. What is happening to me in my old age? Hungarian mummer banjos is getting me all wound up. But it was just kind of cool. And it was a mummer band. And they show up with some regularity. I mean, some of these folks pass away and the family doesn't know what to do with the instrument. And that part is kind of sad that there's not somebody in the family who wants to keep it. There was another one I was watching, which was a British banjo called a Riley Baker. You could look it up on eBay. Put in Riley Baker banjo. If you want to see a cool instrument, it's all aluminum. The neck is aluminum. The whole thing is aluminum. It's British. And it's about turn of the last century. And the peg head looks like a little bit like a Telecaster to me, you know, electric guitar. But it's 125 years old, something like that. And and it's engraved. And it's like somebody inherited this. It was his mother's banjo. Oh my God. And you're selling your mother's. I couldn't do it. If my dear Italian mother left me a banjo, I'm keeping it. Or a mandolin or a ukulele or a bass fiddle. But that hadn't happened. Anyway, let's see. What else I got? Oh my goodness. So the new computer came. I got a new Mac Mini with the M4 processor with the AI because God knows you got to have AI built into it. And Maria wasn't in yesterday, but usually I just throw this on her desk. So I transferred all the data from my old machine to my new machine. And it's cool. It's smaller than the – I have a Mac Mini now with an M1 processor, which is I'm trading back into Apple. And, you know, so it's a pretty cheap date. And it comes, and I'm getting ready to do it, and I'm like, I need a keyboard. I don't have a keyboard for it. Now, Pete was cleaning the back room in my office where I had about 10 keyboards, and they're all gone, along with the mice. And I was able to, I have an adapter, so I could have used the old key. So I eventually scrounged one up and was able to do the transfer. But the new computer, this particular computer at least, has a touch ID, so you can just use your fingerprint to turn the computer on. So I'm going to get a new Apple keyboard with touch ID. Now, with the trade-in, the computer was $300 and some change. To buy a new Apple keyboard. Now, and I wanted the extended keyboard numeric pad, because, you know, I'm always punching in numbers. It's $150-$200. Like, what? No, that ain't happening. That's on my agenda as well. I'll use the old keyboard without the numeric pad for the time being. And I'm not quite done. I've got to do all the email passwords, which I don't remember. So she's got them somewhere. So we get that done, and the old machine will go away, and everything will be more or less right in the world. But we got to take a break. It's already that time. My goodness. What's he got? Oh, yeah. We got this. This group played in Bangor. I want to say it was at the Folk Festival. I don't think it was at the, it was at the, when we had the Folk Festival in Bangor, and they just knocked everybody's socks off. They were that good. It is Hot and Cold, though. We'll be right back. Hot and cold Saturday morning, and we're going over to Bangor Humane Society to talk to Chelsea this morning. Good morning, Chelsea.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm wonderful. I'm actually appreciating a little bit warmer weather we're having. I know it's not drastically warmer, but anything counts, right?
It does. It does. This is great stuff we're having. Any day it's above 32 degrees Fahrenheit is a great, great day. So, anyway, we got the weather out of the way. And I have to tell you, my wife, she talks to me every day about Floki.
Oh, does she? He's so handsome.
And if he was a little bit smaller, my wife, he almost weighs as much as she does.
he's a big boy.
He is a big boy. But what a handsome, oh my goodness. She loves him.
And he knows it. He knows it. And you know, we actually are going to be talking about a dog today who is a little bit smaller than Floki.
Okay.
He's on the larger side, but not quite as large as him.
Yep.
So his name is Asher. So if you go right onto our website, you'll be able to see a beautiful picture of him. He's a brindle boy. He's so handsome.
Yeah.
He's so sweet, too. He's about 63 pounds or so. So he's a little bit lighter.
Yeah, he's going in the right direction for Tom's house. What a handsome guy. Yeah. Wow.
He is so handsome. He is six. He is a sweetheart with a big heart. He has even bigger love for life. He is energetic and a brave boy who finds comfort in his trusty stuffed animals wherever he goes. His buddy is there for him in his overwhelming situation, and he's rarely seen without one in his mouth. So he loves a good stuffed animal.
Mm.
He does adore running around the play yard and is always up for a good walk to explore the world by his side. He excels on a routine, and he knows when it's time for his daily walk and looks for his people to show him the way when things get confusing. He has thrived on a hydrolyzed diet and will need to have an established fat relationship to continue on that food. It really is great for his tummy, and he really enjoys it.
Mm-hmm.
Although we don't have a definite history on him, we have kind of noticed he does really blossom with people and just a lot of time, love, and patience. He is open to proper introductions to other dogs, cats, and children to see if they're going to be a good match. Now, we do ask that every human comes in to meet with him, as well as every dog comes in to meet, just to make sure that, you know, everybody's doing great. But, oh man, if you're ready to add a little joy and a lot of love to your life, this boy will show you it.
Yeah.
He just needs a little bit of extra time, love, and patience, and his personality really, really blossoms. So he's a great boy.
Yeah. Wow. Nice. And pretty soon he won't be playing in the snow like we see in those pictures. He'll be outside frolicking in the grass, and everything will be warm and lovely.
Although he still will probably try to cuddle you even with the warmth, so just prepare for that.
Okay.
But, you know, what's a little cuddle?
Cuddles from a dog is a good thing. I was looking when I get on Facebook, my Facebook feed endlessly shows me basset hound videos who doesn't love a basset hound? So I was looking at one yesterday, a puppy, and it was a breeder. They were down in Alabama. I clicked on the thing. I'm looking at the puppies, and oh my God, these are gorgeous animals. $4,200 for a basset hound puppy.
Wow.
Now, you know, and wonderful. I mean, if you can afford it, you want a basset hound puppy, God bless you. You're probably going to have to fly to Alabama to pick it up.
That's a far flight.
Yeah. But Bangor Humane has these animals right there. You don't have to fly to Alabama. And you can remove an easy zero from that
the
number.
Equation.
And maybe more, depending on what the animal is and what it's got, you know, how long it's been there for. So it's definitely a financial deal.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, we've got a lot of really wonderful dogs up for adoption right now as well. If you're not quite looking for a dog, we also have cats, and we have one bunny up for adoption right now. So we do have other friends that are definitely ready for their forever families, and we know they're out there. So if you ever have any questions, definitely stop on by. We're open Monday through Friday from 1 to 6, and then today, Saturday, we're open 12 to 6. Now, we are closed on Sundays, so just keep that in mind. But we do have a website as well that is live and has all of our friends right on there with pictures and a little bit of information on them, too. So if you can't quite make it down, check out our website, too.
Okay. We will do that. Thank you, Chelsea. We'll talk to you soon. You take care.
Absolutely.
Enjoy the weather.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
Bye-bye. I will.
Right. Bye-bye. Good. Chelsea from Bangor Humane. And I'm looking at the rabbit here. His name is Mitchum. And good-looking guy. I'm not sure about a rabbit in terms of wires, chewing wires. I don't know if they test them to see if they chew wires or not, but I can get into having a rabbit. When I was in college, I had to take wildlife biology, and we had to do, this was down at Rutgers in New Jersey, and we had to do a population study on rabbits. And we set traps, and it was amazing the number of rabbits we caught. They're everywhere down there. Anyway, okay, so I got a whole bunch of text messages at 601-207-4478. First one, did you get the iPhone SE? No, I didn't, because I got the computer. I don't want to technologically overload myself. I'm just, I'm debating whether I want to switch carriers and finagle the free phone out of the deal. I'm not sure. I'm with Visible right now, which is Verizon, basically. But, they're pretty good. It would be nice if they had a deal. They don't have phone deals, but you get what you pay for. The monthly rate is pretty low. Let's see. I'm interested in closing in a covered front porch with insulation windows and a porch door. Any suggestions on how to finish the floor? It's 1x6 pine with small spaces in between boards that would collect debris with the insulation under it. Good question. excuse me. And that is always an issue. There's a couple of ways to people deal with this. I guess the simplest one is to fill the gaps with a caulk. Now, depends how big the gaps are. The other option would be to put a laminate, and I use the term laminate very generally, because there's laminate type floors that are actually hardwood, and of course those would click together and you would not have any gaps. There are some YouTube videos of different ways to deal with gaps in floors. This is not probably a big area. You can cut and fit things. I've seen people hammer rope, like a sisal rope into the cavity. I think that's kind of goofy. Caulk is one, though, that I've seen a lot of folks use different types of caulks. And it does work, and it keeps stuff out. And I'll be honest, I don't know what would be the best. I don't think a standard latex caulk would be, although that's what I've seen people use. From the videos I can remember, I think there's materials that are probably better than that. So I would get onto YouTube just to see, because they're actually going to show it. There have been folks who have actually routed the cavity out and made strips that fit in and nailed them in place. honestly, if it was me, I probably would be going over it with a thin laminate just to not have any gaps at all. Can you please tell us who these great people are in the bumper music, especially the local ones? Who did the Roly-Poly song? The Roly-Poly song was done by the Queeby Sisters, Q-U-E-B-E. And they're extremely talented. Three fiddle players. There are three sisters who play fiddle. And as I say, they were in Bangor. And, I didn't see them in person. I think I saw them on the news. And I was impressed then. And they were like little kids then. Now, obviously, they're grown up and they're still performing. So we got that going for us. They're still kicking around. Let's see. Back in the late 70s, I was in high school, got invited to see Allman Brothers at Augusta Civic Center. Did realize that Dwayne Allman, did realize that Dwayne Allman had died, and it was essentially the Allman brother. Okay, I got you. At that point, adding insult to injury, Greg Allman was a no-show. At least the great Dickie Betts was there. Could you please play a few minutes of Jessica if you can fit it in? I'll get it in there as soon as I can. So, yeah, Dickie Betts was the man. He had his demons, as they all did. Let's see. Phone number is 1-800-966-1039. Text is 601-207-4478. I want to share with you, the more time you spend working on cars, you figure stuff out. And I want to share with you something I figured out yesterday. We had a car. It's been cleaned. We're getting ready to put it out for sale. We're ready to put it out for sale. And, you know, we do the final inspection is to make sure all the basic stuff works. Headlights, horn, windshield wipers, brake lights, backup lights, that kind of stuff. The overt stuff. We've been through at least one mechanic, if not two mechanics, along the way, and as well as myself. And so Pete tells me the horn doesn't work. This was a 2015 Prius at low miles. The horn doesn't work. So I'm looking for the fuse for the horn. And Pete pops open under the hood and finds the fuse for the horn. There's no fuse. And he says there's no relay either. And Toyota does this. They do it with headlights. They do it with the horn. They will do something different wiring-wise and not change the, like on the cover where it says horn fuse and horn relay. They'll leave that on the cover. And those components are missing. And if you look down where the fuse goes in, there's no little receptacles for the fuse to plug into. Pete says, it's got no fuse, got no relay. I said, well, I don't think that's the issue. So I'm noodling around. I actually checked the horn, and I found there was no voltage going to it. And then I realized on the Toyota cars, when you have a fob, you know, for unlocking the door, there's a panic button. If you hit that panic button, it makes a horn honk. Because the other thing that can go wrong is where the button for the horn is. Behind that is something called either the spiral cable or the clock spring. And it's a long cable assembly that's in a round container. And when you turn the wheel, all those connections, all those buttons that are on the steering wheel connect through the clock spring. It's not really a spring. It's just a cable. It's a ribbon cable. And they fail. And to test that, an easy way to test if it's something on that end of the car is hit the panic button. Panic button works. The horn is honking. You know you got power going to the horn. You know there's no fuse burnt out, no relay burnt. Well, God knows where that is. I know they have it into an integrated, what they call an integrated relay, which is a box type thing. So anyway, I said, okay, I'm pretty sure it's clock spring, which I keep on the shelf because it happens. Clock spring, you take the steering, you take the airbag out, you take the steering wheel off, you change it out. So I did that, and I've done them enough that it's not a big deal. I changed it out, and it worked. I said, okay, time to go home. That was the end of the day. Actually, it wasn't the end of the day. Richard came in and bought a Corolla yesterday. So at the end of the day, which was nice. Met him last Saturday and came in with his daughter, and they came back in yesterday and picked up a Corolla. Unfortunately, he had been in an accident a week ago. So we were able to get him in a nice newer Corolla. He had an Echo. So safe travels, my friend. Let's see. Oh, speaking of safe travels. So I've been running, I didn't know this, for a good part of the winter. I had a tire that was wearing unevenly. So I was finding myself, if there was some reasonable snow, I wasn't doing real well. So once I realized that, I swapped out two front tires, the drive tires, for snow tires. I had a customer who had a Prius, sold it, gave us his old snow tires on rims. So I swapped them out, and I can go anywhere now. And they are driving me absolutely bonkers, which explains a lot for Saturday morning. But the tires are great. Snow tires make a little more noise than regular tires. But one of the tires is cupped. And cupping is sort of an irregular wear. There's still plenty of tread there, but one, as you go from a tread section to the next tread section, where there'd be little cavities in between where the rubber grips the road, so to speak, they're different heights, and that noise transmits, and it drives me crazy. So I order tires. I ordered new all seasons to put on the car, and those are going on next week. And we're beyond the season. If I don't need thermals, I can get by with all seasons and not use snow tires. So, but I appreciate it was a kind gift from our customer, and I don't think we sold him a car. I think I did some service on his car when I was doing service, and he came in a couple times. You want these tires? And I got enough tires, but he said, yeah, I've got to get rid of these. I said, okay, bring them over. We'll use them. So cup snow tires are go. This is just improving life in general. So that's that one is. That's just this coming week. And then I still have to figure out the rest of the computer. Oh, how often do you recommend rotating your tires, Tom? I don't rotate them. I wear them out, and then I'll put the, it depends. Generally, just wind up putting new tires on the front. If the rear tires wear out, then I'll move the front tires to the rear and put new tires in the front. And that's my general routine when it comes to tires, but I don't know. What do you do every couple thousand miles? It makes sense to rotate them from. I think with radials, you just go from front wheel drive, front to back. I don't think you go from. Do you go from side to side? I honestly don't do it. So and I put enough miles on that I chew through tires pretty regularly. We get reasonable range out of them. I don't buy a real high-end tire because I'm cheap. Let's face it. For what I drive and what I do, an expensive tire. If I get a tire that's got 20,000-30,000 miles range on it, that's fine. So that's what I do. Oh, let's see. What do we got for music? We'll go there. We'll go there. So I tend to pick up a lot of strange music, going back to the message we got about the music that I wind up playing on the program. And I'm just debating here which one to hit for the break. Certainly the ending music is Frank Sinatra. You knew that every week. And Pete always wants Credence, although he doesn't always get it. And some of it, where am I going to go here? Okay, so who is this? Okay, here we go. So the next one I'll play, just so you know, is somebody I found online. It's Cosmo and the Hot Coals. Cosmo and the Hot Coals are an Italian jazz band. And one of the things that I derive no small amount of pleasure from is finding that American music, jazz, bluegrass in particular, gets picked up in Europe and also in Asia. And these folks emulate this music and play it so well. And it's kind of gratifying to know that a lot of the culture, I mean, we have weird, stupid cultural stuff too. But the good stuff gets picked up and is appreciated all over the world. And I think that's so cool. And it goes both ways. There's music from overseas that find its way here. The jazz music is not something that is inherently all American. It's started with black folks from down south. Klezmer music from Jewish populations is fascinating, and all came together in places like New Orleans, where there was a lot of intermingling. Anyway, Cosmo and Cosmo and the Hot Coals, man. Here we go.
A very crooked nose. He lived in a long gap and a cold and old man moan. Yeah! Early one morning, a knocking on his door. Did he sing a song? He ain't gonna do no more. Cause I believe,
old man.
I believe,
old man.
I believe,
old man.
The old man Moses there. I'm telling you, I believe,
old man.
I do believe,
old man.
I believe,
old man.
The old man Moses. Moses get buggin', Moses get buggin', Moses get buggin', Moses get buggin', Moses get
yeah, this is the big solo part. All right, we're back. Hour number two is Hot and Cold. Good morning again. I'm Tom. Cheap Suit Serenaders, right there. All right. Phone number is 1-800-966-1039. Text line is 601-207-4478. Let's see, Tom, can you talk a little bit about how you converted your flux core welder from AC to DC? I could talk about it. I haven't done it yet. I've been bouncing around off a bunch of other things. I've got the basically, it's a very simple process to convert AC to DC. Generally, you would use what's called a rectifier. It's a diode. And it only allows current to flow in one direction. For the welder, you use what's called a bridge rectifier, which gives a much smoother DC voltage. And then there's two other components that go with it. So you disconnect the AC from the ground and the welding probe would normally be, I'm thinking stick welder, but this is obviously a wire feed. So same deal, though. The output from the big transformer inside the unit that goes to the two leads that go outside the unit get disconnected, hooked onto the AC side of the bridge rectifier, and it's labeled. And then there's four connections, two for the AC in, two for the DC out, positive and negative. The two DC out get hooked up in parallel with a big capacitor and a resistor, which is across the capacitor. So all these are in parallel with those two connections coming out of the rectifier, and those go to the two welding connections. and I don't remember which is positive and which is negative. I want to say the wire is negative and the ground is positive, if my memory serves me right. I could be backwards on that because I am dyslexic, but I haven't done it yet. I've got it apart. I've got the parts right there. I've got it on a workbench, and it's just waiting for me to situate everything. I've got to, there's not a lot of room inside the case, and I look at it every so often and haven't done it. I've got to get some, and I've got them, some heavy-duty cables to do the little bit of internal wiring that I have to do. But it's a very simple process, and there's folks online who explain it as well. If you want to see it done in person, again, YouTube, if it isn't on YouTube, it doesn't happen on this earth. They're not always helpful, YouTube video. I'm always fascinated, inevitably, if I've got some really arcane car problem, And I get on YouTube, and somebody's got a video, and I'm all, this is great. And I click on the video. Either it's a horrible video, or it's 30 seconds long, which isn't obviously enough to explain most things, or it's in a foreign language, which is kind of cool to think that somebody in Pakistan is working on a car and has found the solution. But it's in whatever language they speak in Pakistan, Pakistani, so, which I don't speak, I find fascinating. But, as one who peruses insurance auctions looking for cars that might make sense to rebuild, inevitably I wind up bidding, and we generally wind up bidding against people in a lot of foreign countries. And it's kind of intriguing to think that you've got a Tesla, say, that's been smacked bad, and somebody's going to put it in a container and take it to Libya or Pakistan or India or wherever. A lot of them go to the Middle East. Certainly Toyota trucks and 4Runners wind up in the Middle East, I think, a lot of times with machine guns on the back. And you would never know they were salvage vehicles. They do good work. and they know how to mount a machine gun on the back of a truck. I'm not sure. Well, I think we could all figure that out if we had the need. Fortunately, most of us do not. So that's good. Phone number again, 1-800-966-1039. Text line 601-207-4478. We're going to put the call out again just because I did it first hour. I am looking for quarter-inch Corian. Corian is countertop material, and it's something that I'm using in banjos that I'm making. I have access to half-inch. I need quarter-inch for my project. I may just wind up just buying a full sheet of it. I'm using little pieces. So a full sheet is like 12 feet long. So that's a lot of Corian. But if I can't find scraps, and I'm literally talking about, just to give you the example, if you think it's too small, it might not be. I'm looking for pieces this size or larger, 1 3/4 inches wide, by roughly 40 inches long and a quarter inch thick. If you got, say, you did a project, you know somebody who does it for a living, let me know, because I will buy their scrap and I will make banjos out of it. I know it's hard to believe. So anyway, I just knocked out go in the basement and I count them, and they just keep multiplying. There's more and more because these are relatively easy instruments for me to make. And I just banged out number 20. And they're all still there. If you're looking for a 5-string banjo, just call me. 1-800-966-1039 is, I'll sell you a banjo on the radio. I could do that. I'm only kidding. We'll do it off the air. But they are available, and I think they present well. They look well, and they sound good, which is, you know, the important part. And when you're doing something different, and it doesn't matter what it is. It could be cars, it could be building a house, it could be making a banjo, whatever. You try something new, it may or may not work, and that can never be the reason to stop, that it doesn't work, because you know now not to do that again. And if you're smart, you don't do it again. Now, I'm not always, that doesn't always happen with me, but I try. And as we go down this path of a peculiar path in my book of making banjos out of what essentially is countertop material, we figure out what works and sounds good and what doesn't work, and we don't do that again. And there's stuff to be seen. So, and I haven't done it. And you have to pay for a web page, but a Facebook page you don't have to. This isn't as adaptable as a web page is. And we've secured the web address, which is StocktonStrings.com. But I will get a Facebook page up first, just because it's quick and easy. Well, I am not a fan of social media in any way, shape, or form. That makes me old, I guess. But speaking of old, we got to take a break. It is hot and cold, though, Saturday morning. You know who this is. I don't need to tell you. Back 9:20, hot and cold Saturday morning. Berlin Philharmonic. Just in case you're wondering, I know you were. Ooh. Tico. God, great music. So, a couple things. I want to mention the fact one of my all-time favorite actors. We lost one of the best actors of our generation, Gene Hackman, this week. And, I've seen a lot of Gene Hackman movies. The one that I just can't get enough of is The Royal Tenenbaums. If you haven't seen it, this would be a good, it's going to snow this afternoon or this morning or something. Or you get a chance this weekend, take a look. It might be free on something, one of the movie things that are free. Royal Tenenbaums, it's just, he is so incredible in that movie. And it's, It's kind of a comedy. It's a Wes Anderson movie. So it's kind of a comedy kind of thing. He was in it with Bill Murray and Angelica Houston, a bunch of other people, Luke Wilson, and it's just a good movie, and he made the movie, and he did that with every movie he was in, just one of those guys. The other movie, if that movie is maybe too whimsical for you, and I think I've got the name right, he did a movie with Will Smith called Enemy of the State. Watch that one. If you like Bang Bang Shoot 'Em Up, you know, spy stuff, that's a great one. And again, he had a good run. It was 95. So it's unfortunate the way we don't know what happened yet. But anyway, I didn't realize how old he was. He'd been around forever and didn't realize he was that old. And he had stopped acting, which obviously at age 95, you kind of maybe want to, he slowed down. He had some heart issues. So that was a tough one to see. Let's see. Phone number 1-800-966-1039. Text 601-207-4478. We might hear from Pete at some point this morning. There was one other thing I wanted to touch. I want to go over to the Greed Days again in case you tuned in late. I now have a good resource online that I remember from week to week, which is helpful. And February, the Greed Days were 1,278, which I think was pretty much spot on. I'm going to say we're a little more than three quarters of the way through the heating season at this point. I mean, what do we got, 3 weeks? And it's springtime. So that's good. But the season to date is 5,198 degree days out of what would typically be about 7,100 degree days. So we're a good three quarters of the way through. Speaking of being through stuff, we're three quarters of the way through the show. What are the odds of that? That three quarters of the way through the hot and cold Saturday morning extravaganza, the music, and the fun, that it just gets better when Pete shows up.
Some folks are born made to wave the flag. Ooh, they're red, white, and blue. And when the band plays Hail to the Chief, ooh, they point the cannon at you. No, it ain't me.
It ain't you. It's Pete. Good morning, Pete.
Good morning.
How are you?
Well, I'm about to get elected governor of the state of Maine.
Oh, wow. When did that happen?
Well, it happened yesterday while I was driving. I had a thought.
Oh, a revelation.
Yeah.
Divine inspiration. Divine inspiration.
I'm going to rework the Department of Transportation within the state of Maine. Me and Elon Musk are going to figure it out. We're going to divide it up into these sub-grids, right?
Okay.
Each sub-grid is going to have a governor, a sub-lieutenant governor, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
Each one of those governors is going to have crews, road crews,
yeah,
that are going to be responsible for their grid. It's not; these aren't going to be small, like five-block grids. It's going to be cities, counties, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And what's going to happen is, if you hit a pothole and it damages, I've discussed this before, but if you hit a pothole and it damages your vehicle, it's going to get a little bureaucratic, but this is the only way to make it work. You're going to pull over and call the cops. Cops are going to come. They're going to make an official note of it. They're going to give you what's called a road incident ticket. And they're going to give you this ticket, and then you have two business days to get to a mechanic with your ticket. The mechanic's going to look at the car. If there's nothing wrong, the mechanic submits to the state. They get $50 for checking the car out. If there is something wrong, the mechanic's going to fix it. You're going to pay for it. This is to ensure that, you know, the money's going where it should. Then you're going to submit your mechanic slip and your road incident ticket to the state. The state's going to reimburse you for the damage to your vehicle that incurred on our roads. We're going to do this for 3 years, and we're going to take the average for each grid, and then guess what's going to happen? That's coming right out of the butt of the supervisor. So let's say your grid is responsible for, on average, $100,000 in damage on vehicles, which people might scoff and laugh at that number, but if you start thinking about it, it's very easy to crop up into $1,000 worth of suspension stuff or tires or whatever, right? Guess what? You're getting $1,000 deducted from your pay. Everyone under you is going to lose 10% of whatever you lost. they're going to get $100 deducted from their pay. This is all what I call motivation. That's going to be their motivation to keep the roads in their grid up to snuff. And this is not a reflection of our road crews. I'm not saying they do a bad job. I'm saying the trickle down of the orders of fixing the roads is the problem. It takes forever to get it done. There's a pothole over by Walmart in Bangor. The size is slightly larger than Domino's Pizza. Okay, and it's been there for a month now, right? And you watch everybody, like, swerve around it when they go through. Why isn't it fixed yet? Now, I know that's probably a private road, but here's the thing. I encourage things in both directions. If your percentage of incidences reported goes down, you get bonuses. The grid governor and his crews are going to get bonuses if the dollar amount reported of incidents goes down. And what brings this up is the fact that I just had $751 of
I knew there was a catch here.
Suspension work done to my car. Now, part of that was there was, get this, you might find this hard to believe, part of that was there was some rust and there was some stuff fused together and knuckles had to be replaced and things like that,
mm-hmm.
which, again, well, that's a whole different topic for a different day. But the point is I didn't wind up needing suspension work because our roads are so great. You know, it's not, oh, they're so smooth and even. That's why I needed the suspension work. No, I needed it because they got all screwed up. So naturally, 3 days after $751 in suspension work, I hit a pothole the size of a friggin' minivan. It was dark. You know, I couldn't see it. It was dark. You know, it's wintertime. And I just went off the rails and started swearing in the car to nobody. And then I started this whole idea out loud in the car to no one.
So one might think it was the divine inspiration that God made you hit that pothole so you could come up with this idea.
Exactly. And, you know, everybody's listening right now. Everybody here has hit a pothole, and then you just have that, you just hold your breath and sweat for like 10 seconds
but,
while you wait for your tire pressure light to come on or for something to start clunking.
But here's the other part. So, yeah. And maybe some of that divine inspiration came from your mechanic, who I know is listening, who was an agent of God. You ever think of that?
It's all connected.
It's interconnected. Oh. Wow.
So that's where, and people are saying, well, how are you going to keep, like, you know, somebody writes the ticket up for the work and they go to the mechanic and the mechanic's like, you need a new everything. Well, yeah, that's going to be a problem. Unless the roads are fixed, then it won't be a problem.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, and again, I'm not lambasting anybody here that's listening that's on a road crew right now. They know as well as I do that they can't just go out and start patching stuff, you know? There's too much bureaucracy in between. So there's going to be the lieutenant governor of the grid will get a report of the trouble areas. You know, his guys will just radio in and be like, I found a pothole.
Who in their right mind wants to become a lieutenant governor of the grid?
Well, it's going to be a good – here's the thing. The bonuses are going to be good if your grid is taken care of.
Well, okay.
If you do a good job, if you maintain your grid with an iron fist,
but
like an industrialist in 1800s New York.
Allow me to play devil's advocate for a moment. Technologically, I've seen people patching potholes all over the place, and whatever they put in that pothole pops right out again this time of year. So I don't think we have the technology, short of grinding up the road and repaving, regrading and repaving, to eliminate them. I'm open to suggestions.
We need to dig up the road and put proper drainage down. This is why the highway doesn't have this problem.
Okay. Pete.
So we need proper drainage is the issue.
All right. Well, here's the thing. We got to take a break, and I got a message here that says, breathe, Pete. So you take a deep breath, too. I'm going to take a deep breath. We got a bunch of messages. I know it's hard to believe that we would have messages after that, but
it's
we do.
Good idea.
And let's take the break, and we come back. We'll address this with our listening audience. Stand by. It is Hot and Cold with Pete. You knew that.
Seeing showing photographs of every head he's had the pleasure to know, and all the people that come and go stop and say hello. On the corner is a banker with a motor car, the little children laugh at him behind his back.
Back, it's 9:35. We got Pete online. He's a little wound up this morning, but I'm looking at Penny Lane right now. There's a video on the screen here. I don't see any potholes, Pete.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah.
They've got a system very similar to mine. They've copied it.
Ah, that's what it is.
Those Russians, they copy everything.
All right. Oh, my goodness. We got more messages here. Let's see. some...
Where's the dissenting voice? Where's the person that's going to disagree with me just to be argumentative?
All right. Well, here's one. Somewhere there's
here's the thing.
I
was just going to say I wouldn't suggest this if it wasn't a good idea.
Okay. First one out of the gate. I'm taking them in chronological order. Somewhere there's a guy with a big net looking for Pete. next one. Pennsylvania Department of Transportation will refund you for pothole damage on state roads. They have an online form. There you go,
yeah.
Huh?
Very progressive, those Pennsylvanians.
All right, I got a message here. Banana sunrise chair. We know what that's about. That one tears it, Pete. You got all my votes. There you go. And this one is an unfortunate one. I just hit a pothole on Broadway. So you need to contact your district. What district supervisor?
It's going to be grids are going to have lieutenant governors in charge of.
Okay,
you know,
so you
Department of Transportation.
You should be.
I don't have all the titles worked out or the amounts. We'll get it. Me and Elon will straighten it out.
Okay.
We'll figure it out.
Well, that's good.
You know, the first pothole I ever hit was on Broadway, and when I was in high school, I was driving an 81 Volvo, and I hit a pothole, and I got a flat, and I pulled over at there. Used to be a little gas station on the right, somewhere around where the furniture store is now.
Yeah.
And I called my buddy Joe, and he came over, because I didn't know how to change a tire. Neither did he. We both had the concept under control.
Yeah.
So we asked the guys at the gas station, because it was a service station, you know, can you help change the tire? And they were like, no. So we jacked the car up. It's in the middle of their parking lot, and the whole thing just, like, falls over.
Oh, my goodness.
Like, it goes right off the... And then the guy came out with the jack and pumped it up, and we put the tire on. But that pothole not only took out that tire, it also broke a couple of motor mounts. And there was like one, I think the connections were the only thing holding the motor up at that point. Because it was doing something weird, and I came down to see you at the shop, and you're like, all your motor mounts are broken.
I don't remember any of that, but yeah.
Yeah.
It's a rough one. All right.
Everybody agrees with me. As where they should.
Okay.
Next order of business.
Okay. Well, that's enough for me. I don't know. I'm speechless. Man. Have you moved any cars yet for plow? Are we going to plow today or no? Are we just going to let this go?
I'm just going to let it go. It's going to be cold tomorrow and Monday, but after that, it's all going to melt again. It's going to just stop.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's nothing accumulating. It just says, you know, chance of rain, maybe a little bit of snow.
Yeah.
So I'm not moving anything else.
Okay.
After Monday, we're going to be above freezing pretty much for the rest of the run. So everybody just walk careful.
Okay. That sounds good to me. It'd be nice not to move the cars anymore. It was fun yesterday, though, watching you plow the basically water. It was mostly...
Here's the thing. You can't plow snow into the road, but I was kind of trying to, like, get the puddle to go off into the road and go away. But I couldn't do. I couldn't get enough momentum. I didn't want to get yelled at by somebody.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's whatever remained dried up reasonably well, and we're on the right side of it. So that's good. And okay. Well, let's see. Hang on here. If I do that, I think we got a caller online. Good morning. You're on the Voice of Maine.
Hi.
Hi.
I love listening to your show. And I love listening to your show, and I think you're talking about potholes?
Yes.
Okay, I think that everybody at this time of the year should slow down, especially when we all know there's potholes.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
All right, that's all I have to say.
Oh, that's
we
a good
one.
We have
potholes over here in Canada, too.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Appreciate
Bye.
It. Bye-bye. Wow. Canadian caller.
I agree with her. Because speed does play a role when you have potholes. And also plays a role in reaction time. It's a lot of times, like the one last night, it's dark. You know, you get those little patches where there's a little bit of ice or snow still on the road that are dark, so you don't think much of it. But
Yeah.
Now, technically, on smaller potholes, this doesn't matter, though, because they're smaller. On a smaller one, if you're going fast, you'll go over them with less impact.
Yeah.
But it's a smaller pothole, so it really doesn't, speed plays a very large key in the big ones.
Yep. Oh, speaking of Canada and previous caller, every so often you see online houses that are under $100,000. And inevitably, a lot of these tend to show up in Canada. And there was one in Nova Scotia looking at the ocean for $88,000. And it wasn't horrible. A $88,000 house in our area would be pretty rough. This was not pretty rough. This was pretty decent. So I got on the map and I looked closer. And it's on the eastern end, literally the eastern end of Nova Scotia. So then I said, let's get the directions. How many miles is this? It's 530 miles from here, where we sit, to get there.
What are the taxes?
I didn't look at the taxes. I kind of didn't care. I thought, man, if you want to get away from it all, and it's closer to Newfoundland than it is Bangor, Maine. And it actually is beyond PEI. And I'm thinking, PEI, I remember when Stacy's Country Jamboree was on and those folks would come down from PEI. I thought, wow, that's a long haul. Well, that ain't nothing compared to this place. But if I want to get away from it all, I'm going the eastern end of Nova Scotia. That looks nice.
There's one of the funniest lines in Sopranos that I've always enjoyed it is they're sitting around, they're eating dinner, and Carmela's dad is there, and Tony's sister Janice asks him, she says, "Did you see any action in World War II?" And he just goes, perfect delivery. He goes, "A little. I was stationed in Nova Scotia." And he talked about food poisoning or something.
Yeah. Okay, I got a couple more messages here. It's frost heaves that'll get you. That's true. Where was the big frost heave we keep hitting, Maria and I? It's on Outer Hammond Street.
It's on the way out to the auction.
Yeah, Outer Hammond Street.
Exactly. There's two of them.
That one will kill you. That is a really deep frost heave. It's headed out towards where, it's beyond B&L Auto Parts. I think, right? Yeah.
Hammond Street, really, it's that little dip when you get out there towards, like, the bowling alley and the equipment place where the driving used to be. That dip in the road, it just turns into a mess.
Oh, my goodness.
They ought to just tear it up. The grid lieutenant governor for that area ought to tear it up, raise it, get it up level with the rest of Hammond Street,
Yep.
Get some proper drainage in there.
Well, there might be proper, it might be, it makes you want to stop and see what the hell's going on. In that vicinity, is there a culvert underneath the road, or is it just, that's some pretty, I would say that's down about 8 inches, 6-8 inches at least. And that's a significant.
It's a wide swath, too.
Yeah.
It's like 3 feet worth.
Yeah. Okay.
Another thing I would do, if I'm voted to get the snowbird votes, if you vote me governor, I will pick a physical fight with Gavin Newsom. I'll do a debate and I'll just start pushing him and stuff.
Wow, you're really going off the deep end this morning.
I'm rip roaring and ready to go after that.
Hey, Gavin Newsom didn't make the pothole.
No, but I don't like him. He steals a lot of money. I don't like him. Allegedly.
Okay.
An awful lot of money goes missing over there.
Oh,
and then what happens? They got fires.
There goes my radio show.
Yeah.
My radio show's going away now. I can see it.
We're
going
to fight Gavin Newsom.
Can I?
Let's go, boys.
Can I just play some Mummer music instead?
You know what? Okay, unrelated. Unrelated.
I just happened to have it queued up.
unrelated.
Okay.
There's a house on the way into Bangor. I'm not going to say what town, but you probably know the one I'm talking about. It's on the left. Half of it is falling down. The other one?
Yeah.
Yeah. Am I the only one that sees that and you're just like, you almost just want to pull over and start working on it?
Yeah.
Like, you've got to cut, like, half the house needs to be cut off. It's an L, and it's coming down. The whole second floor is gone.
Oh, yes, that house. I want to go up there with a cordless recip saw so frigging bad.
Cut it right off
and just, yeah.
And be done with it. You can't leave. It's going to pull the rest of the building down.
Yeah.
You know what it is? It's like they've left the sugar cube out and they're waiting for ants. And that's just dudes like me driving by that are just like, you know, I could probably just throw a couple hours into that and do some good.
Yeah, more
guys stop and just, you know.
You have a cordless recip saw. I do. We just stop. Well, I'll tell you what. Next Saturday morning.
Cut it off.
Next Saturday morning. You come up with me. We'll do it before they get up.
Yeah.
And it'll be nice, clean cut.
It'll be a good Samaritan thing. You know, be like, hey, just leave a little note and some candies that said we cut half your house off.
Can you imagine?
You're welcome.
They're calling 911. There's somebody.
Guys with saws.
Oh.
Yeah, but here's the thing. The cop would show up, and he'd see the house. He'd be like, that's been bothering me. And then he would come out with maybe like a crowbar or something.
Yeah. I forgot the 911 story from Sunday. Sunday, I was working.
This is a good one.
Yeah, I was working on I mentioned that I'm looking for quarter inch Corian. Well, I wanted some quarter inch. I didn't have any. I have half inch. So I've got a planer now. I said, "Oh, let me see if I can run the Corian through the planer." I ran it through twice, and it was with the routing. That's right. Okay, so I ran it through the planer twice. I got it down to 3/8. I thermoformed it, and then I routed it, okay? So I'm routing it, and I've got an Apple Watch on. And the Apple Watch, I got done routing, and I hear this voice. I look down, and my watch is saying, this is 911 recorded, blah, blah, blah. So I dismissed it. I hung up. And about a minute later, the phone rings, and I answer it, and it's the 911 operator. Are you okay? Well, my phone, if I hit something, if I'm doing a Pete impersonation and I'm slamming on the desk with my fist, it'll think I've fallen and will ask me if I'm okay. And, you know, if I'm banging something, I see it right away, and I dismiss it. Well, this apparently went on for a little bit longer than it should have and dialed 911.
And they probably thought you were screaming.
It could be. So I told the 911 person I'm okay. And he thanked me. He asked me my name. I told him my name. 2 minutes go by. The phone rings again. It says no caller ID. Now, my friend Jim, who's down in St. Augustine, Florida, when he calls me, it comes up no caller ID. And I will answer in some goofy way. And I didn't last Sunday. I answered the phone, and Mr. Gosey, this is the Maine State Police. And my first thought is, oh, my God, what did I do? Why? What did I do wrong?
What did Pete do?
Yeah, what did Pete do? No, what did I do? I mean, I'm thinking, what did I do that I – and then I realized he says – are you okay? You know, we got a message that you had fallen. No, I'm fine. And I said, you know, I'm routing I'm routing a Corian banjo, damn it.
They've got a code for you.
There's a code.
Tom Gosey has fallen.
Yeah, well, if you listen to the scanner, it's 10-143, Corian router, and but it was, and fortunately, because I know it's hard to believe, but Jim and I might be crude at times. I usually don't answer the phone doing something crude, but I might say something silly. And I didn't. because I thought, you know what? I'm better than being silly when I answer the phone. But the main, and probably the state cop is younger than you, but he might not have your sense of humor. So it all worked out in the end. But and they're watching for, they're waiting for me to fall, damn it. And who am I to let them down? I guess I'm just going to have to fall sometime.
I wonder how much of that is your watch. Like, it's got your health info, so it knows your age and all that. And, like, if I was doing the same activity with my Apple Watch on, would it do the same thing?
I don't know.
I'm assuming it was a combination of vibration and then that high-pitched, you know, they thought maybe you were screaming, help, you know, something like that.
The router was loud. I mean, I was making a lot of noise. And usually it'll vibrate a little bit, but I'm running the router, so I didn't feel the vibration. And I just happened to hear, as soon as I shut off the router, I hear this voice talking to me, and I look down, and you know, you can dismiss it. And Big Brother. I can't wait for the AI to start asking me what the hell I'm doing. Why are you shoveling snow? It'd be like Pete pestering me.
What are you doing? Leave that. Call Pete. He'll do it.
Yeah, call Pete. All right, so what's the deal with cars? We got anything important to talk about?
Well, speaking of snow, now that it's not going to snow anymore, everybody's going to come in and buy the cars, so I don't have to move the cars anymore.
Yeah.
A couple of them have gone out. That little green high-mileage Prius, that sold. The RAV4 Hybrid sold. The 2016 Prius sold, the one with 148K. Yesterday, the Corolla that I liked sold, the blue one with 134,000 miles on it.
Yep.
And I knew it was going to sell because I drove it and I liked it. I put gas in it, and then it's gone. But I like the guy who bought it.
Yeah.
If you're Richard, if you're listening, I hope you're enjoying it.
Yeah.
And what else? What do we put out? We still got the Hyundai Ioniq. That's my second favorite.
Yeah.
Well, I guess it's my favorite now that the Corolla's gone.
Yeah.
It's quite a leap, too. But we got a lot of Priuses. We got the Hyundai Ioniq. We got the Ford Fusion. We got another Corolla. We've got that Avalon.
Mm.
Which I do like that.
Yeah, I'm kind of surprised that's still here. That's a nice car. But, this has been, in fairness, with the way the weather's been and everybody dealing with tax stuff, now it's getting warmer. We're seeing more folks coming in looking at things. And we still have cars coming through. We're finding them. I've said it before. I think it's going to get worse at time if the tariffs are going to go through. I think new car prices obviously are going to go up a bit, and the used car market is going to get a little bit tighter. I think I'm already seeing that. So it's for us, it's challenging trying to find cars that can be affordable, and affordable is a moving number.
Speaking of affordable, I'll throw this out there just so folks know. We don't do in-house financing, but we can certainly help you. We have credit unions that we work with regularly, so we can point you in the right direction. If there's something you find that you like, we can hold it while you try to get your financial ducks in a row. Because generally, in-house financing is not a great deal compared to a credit union. You're talking a difference of, like, sometimes as much as 10 points.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and that's significant money over the course of a loan.
It is. So. It is.
But we're not like, you know, if you're interested in something, you're like, I got to go talk to my bank, I'm not going to be like, well, you better leave me $1,000. No, I'm just going to put a card in the window that says pending while you go do that.
Yeah.
And if you don't get it, that's fine. I'll take the card right out of the window.
That works well.
That's the level of customer care we have here at American Solar Technics and AST Cars, located in beautiful Stockton Springs, Maine, across from Just Barb's restaurant.
Hmm. Okay. Well, that's good to know. And Pete's there till 3 today.
Yep.
Excuse me. So
I got nothing. I'm all worked up. I had coffee.
So you go and talk potholes with Pete.
that would be a great car radio show name.
Oh my God, we got a whole bunch more
potholes with Pete.
We got more messages. Do we really need politics on the show? No, we don't. But we got Pete here. you could use the debris to fill a pothole. Yeah. Tom, old schoolers just call it a Sawzall. Cordless recip saw is too chewy. Well, it's not a Sawzall. It's a recip saw. And it's cordless. Sawzall you plug into the wall is made by Milwaukee. But I understand. You could call it whatever you want. A couple of years ago back, you discussed batteries. Excuse me, that phone companies used for emergency backup, which they sold long before the end of battery life. For those of us who don't have resources for Tesla Powerwall, are those old-style batteries still an option? Yeah, and they're, a lot of those were either nickel-cadmium or nickel-iron. The nickel-iron battery, well, nickel, they're both still being made. The difference is they're bigger and heavier. Nickel-iron batteries are not cheap, but they will probably last an entire lifetime, a human lifetime. They're very, very rugged batteries. And I think we're going to see that the technology of new batteries that we're not even seeing yet are going to be such that they're going to be similar in terms of life expectancy. There's, of course, the solid-state battery, which somebody's just coming out with one now. And but there's also a sodium-ion battery that's coming out. Sodium batteries used to have to be at very high temperatures. Now they operate at room temperature. And we're seeing those starting to show up. And, you know, we're still not at that point where we have the great technology in terms of batteries. It's still kind of knocking around. But that will happen. I have no doubt about it. We're closer to that than ever. And we're just about out of time, Pete.
Well, we killed it.
We did kill it. You killed it.
We had to end it with something useful. Way to go. Useful knowledge.
Pete and his politics. Thank you for your politics, Pete. I mean, it makes the show so much better.
I just like to get everybody awake, you know?
Okay. I think they... Okay. All right.
Yeah.
I'll see you later, Pete. Thank you.
All right. See
you. All right. Everybody Bye. Out there, take him with a grain of salt. He's my boy, and I love him.
A miracle a day is all I need. T. Rubble's more or less be all the me, I guess. When the sun doesn't shine, but there's that pocket full of miracles, and with a pocket full of miracles, the world's a bright and shiny apple that's mine, all mine.